In the history of the church, there has been many Eucharistic miracles. I've heard over 130 Eucharistic miracles that are approved by the Vatican. These are events where something unexplainable occurs regarding the Eucharist. In my time in Italy, I was able to visit three of these Eucharistic miracles. Kind of neat to see them in person. There's one in Siena where the hosts were stolen from the church and then found later. And miraculously, these hosts have been preserved for a long time. This happened in 1730, and the hosts are still there. They haven't dissolved into particles or anything like that. They look there just as fresh as ever. Orvieto is another place where in 1263, during Mass, the host that the priest held up began to bleed, and the blood fell on the corporal, and they still have that corporal. And it's held in the Orvieto Cathedral. This is actually the miracle that prompted St. Thomas Aquinas to write the sequence that we read part of today, and also the Pange Lingua, which is a famous Eucharistic hymn. And finally, in Montciano, in 750, during Mass, another host was transformed into the flesh, and the consecrated wine visibly transformed into blood. So these Eucharistic miracles have been miraculously preserved, and we can view them to this day. So Siena, Orvieto, Montciano, any other Eucharistic miracle, all these things remind us that there is something supernatural that happens at the Mass. And as Catholics, we know and believe that this is truly the Son of God made present to us on the altar. What looks like bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ. Why do so few believe this? Even the early Protestants had belief in the Eucharistic presence. Luther and Zwingli and Henry VIII all believed, but in very short order, their successors lost this belief or greatly changed the doctrines to match their own incredulity. The second generation of Protestants, Calvin, Cranmer, and many others, no longer believed in the sacramentality of the Eucharist. It was merely a symbol for them. Why did this happen? How did this happen? For 1,500 years, there was a consistent belief in the Eucharist, and it had been challenged time and time again in the past, but always the Orthodox belief had been upheld. No, this is truly Jesus. He's here present. Perhaps because of the way that Protestants approached communion, both in their theology as well as in the way they treated the Eucharistic species, in short order led to a lack of reverence and leading then to a lack of belief and a lack of the sacredness of what the Eucharist is, or we might say who the Eucharist is. Things like the communion rail, receiving on the tongue, the importance of genuflecting to the presence, ad orientem worship, recognition that we are in the presence of the sacrament, the sacred host is a very special thing. These things were removed from the Protestant practice. And all these practices have reinforced over the years our Catholic belief and understanding that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist and have gone missing from the churches that broke away during the Reformation. Now, a generation after the Second Vatican Council, many changes were made in our own Catholic practice with regard to the Eucharist. Many Catholics no longer believe nor comprehend who the Eucharist is. Is there any question that there is a connection between this loss of belief and the change in how we revere the Eucharist as Catholics? Practice reinforces belief. Might there be some wisdom in returning to some of these aspects of our outward practice of piety in order to restore the reverence and reinforce our belief? After the Vatican Council, I'm sure there were many people who felt that these changes would not affect the way people believe, or how they came to recognize Jesus present in the Eucharist. But how wrong they were. How quickly the casual atmosphere, the general lack of reverence, leads to an erosion of belief. And it should be noted that none of these things that were changed regarding our Eucharistic practices were demanded by the council itself. Rather, it was some within the church who wanted to change things that took that opportunity to make the Mass more Protestant or more similar to the Protestant worship, especially in our own country. These things that were distinctly Catholic were marginalized or gotten rid of altogether. Things like incense, Gregorian chant, vestments, communion rails, sanctuary, statuary, relics, Christocentric worship and architecture. All these things have played a part in the loss of our belief, I would say. Now, sometimes mystery is better than knowledge. Might sound funny to say that, but I think it's true. We live in a time where knowledge is emphasized. We know, we understand, we comprehend, and therefore there can be a sense of a feeling that says, I don't need signs or symbols to help me believe. Yet, what has our knowledge and our understanding led to? Do we have greater reverence for Jesus in the Eucharist or less? Do we believe more in God now or less? It's a fact that less people by percent believe in the Eucharist than 50 years ago. Perhaps recognizing there is some mystery in the Mass is better than having everything immediately tangible, immediately explainable to us. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go back to pre-Vatican II times. We live in a different time, a different place. But I do think that there may be some benefits to having the communion rail, being exposed to Mass in the Adoriente where the priest faces the same way as the people, these kinds of things, to recapture the mystery, the reverence, the sacredness of what we celebrate. Having a minimalist approach to liturgy does not help us believe. It does not reinforce our belief. Rather, it brings an element of, I would say, casual familiarity, and rather reinforces the idea that what we are doing is nothing special. And really, it's not much different than what happens in any other church. Or worse yet, we might see that this minimalism leads to a disconnect between the centrality of the Mass and our path towards eternal life. Our celebration of the Mass ought to be an experience that helps us transcend what we see. It ought to help us, inspire us for a longing for God. And our churches ought to lift our hearts to God. Now, I think in our parishes, we do a pretty good job. We do a lot of good things. But I think there's also room for improvement. We can always think about how our Eucharistic piety should grow, can grow. Now, on the other extreme, you have another possible risk is that the Mass becomes so symbolic, so incoherent, that it's disconnected from my understanding, that I no longer see how this has any bearing on my life. And this is what the Council Fathers sought to reform when they asked to reform the liturgy at the Second Vatican Council. They wanted to restore the liturgy in such a way that we could enter into it. But in no way was their intention to make Catholicism simpler or plainer or less mystical. If you read the documents, it's very clear. Now consider the sequence today, the thing that we read right before the Gospel. The writing is mystical, it's poetic, not exactly tangible or accessible to our modern ears. Many might say, nah, don't use that, or retranslate, or make it different, make it more understandable to me. Instead of pushing ourselves into that mystery of what realities the words are really trying to get at, often I think our first impulse is to think, let me stay where I am. Let the mysteries be explained away. Rather than our curiosity and our wonder being aroused and stirred up, I wonder if we prefer the language or our songs even that are immediately accessible to us. What if, on the other hand, instead of we allow the unfamiliar to provoke in us questions? What does it mean? What is this writing all about? We heard, very bread, good shepherd, tend us. Jesu, of your love, befriend us. You refresh us. You defend us. Your eternal goodness send us in the land of life to see. What is St. Thomas saying there? What mystery is he describing or invoking? A mystery is not something that we don't understand at all, but rather a mystery is something we take note of, we think about, we understand that there's something more than meets the eye, and we allow our hearts and our souls to ponder where the senses fail to enter. Our Catholic faith is full of mysteries. Our Catholic faith is not just a pure intellectualism, nor is it simply a collection of superstitions or unreasonable beliefs or moral codes. Our faith is a joining of faith and reason together. It relies both on our senses and on our rational capacity to follow a path that leads to the contemplation of God, who is at once both knowable and mysterious. So, dear friends, on this day of Corpus Christi, May we strive to cultivate a lived faith in the real presence of Jesus, a belief that reverences Jesus in the Eucharist, and a piety that informs our belief with bodily gestures and bearing that match the great mystery that is God present in the Eucharist. I'd like to ponder these last lines from the sequence. Some of them are from the lines that we didn't read from the extended version. Sight has failed, nor thought conceives, but a dauntless faith believes, resting on power divine. Here beneath these signs are hidden priceless things to sense forbidden. Signs, not things, are all we see. Blood is poured and flesh is broken, yet in either wondrous token Christ entire we know to be. Bad and good the feast are sharing of what divers dooms preparing, endless death or endless life. Life to those damnation. See how like participation is with unlike issues rife. When the sacrament is broken, doubt not, but believe, 'tis spoken, that each severed outward token doth the very whole contain. You who all things can know, who on earth such food bestow, grant us with your saints the lowest, where the heavenly feast you show, fellow heirs and guests to be. Amen. Hallelujah.